Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. GOP presidential hopefuls Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley are facing off in a one-on-one debate in Iowa ahead of Monday's caucuses. They've taken shots at each other. On CNN, DeSantis touts his record as Florida's governor as Haley questions the high property insurance and cost of living increases in her opponent's state. The Iowa debate comes just hours after Chris Christie announced in New Hampshire that he was dropping out of the GOP presidential race. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
He had been reluctant to make this move and had said even as earlier as yesterday that he had no intention of leaving the race and endorsing somebody else if they're not being as forcefully critical of former President Trump. But ultimately, he concluded what polling has begun to show, which is that while he may have found favor early on, he is fading towards the back of the pack in New Hampshire.
As the skiing was just getting underway near the Palisades Tahoe Resort in California, the weather turned rough and down came a wall of snow. This woman was witness to the avalanche.
I saw it when I was going up the chair. And then as I came around, anybody that was off the chair, we just all got asked to help and start probing and start trying to just find people.
One man has died and three have been injured. At least five people have died in the storms that have hit the Midwest and South. The rough weather has also caused damage and power outages in the New York City area. A large tree fell near this woman's home on Staten Island.
What could you do? It's the way of the world. It strikes. This time I was unlucky, it was me.
Portions of New Jersey and Connecticut have been hit with flooding. A House committee hearing on whether to hold Hunter Biden in contempt of Congress turned ugly today. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
Hunter Biden, who unexpectedly showed up for the hearing, was chastised by Republican Nancy Mace.
You are the epitome of white privilege.
Democrat Jasmine Crockett took exception to that comment.
Let me tell you why nobody wants to talk to y'all behind closed doors, because y'all lie.
And as Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene began to speak, Hunter Biden unexpectedly walked out.
Hunter, apparently you're afraid of
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Tennessee Governor Bill Lee signs into law what's called the Elvis Act. It's aimed at protecting artists against artificial intelligence.
We will ensure that no one can steal the voices of Tennessee artists. And I believe that what we're doing here today will ensure that no one will steal the voices of American artists once this is enacted across the country.
Alabama coach Nick Saban is retiring after winning seven national championships, more than any other major college football coach. And the Kentucky Derby purse is raised to $5 million for the race in May. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A group of conservatives in Racine County are launching a recall campaign against Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Matthew Snorick of Union Grove filed the paperwork on Wednesday. He says that Voss is blocking fair elections in Wisconsin by not moving to impeach the state's top election administrator, Megan Wolf. In a statement, Voss called the recall a waste of time, resources, and effort. The Wisconsin legislature will have new political boundaries this year after December's state Supreme Court ruling. Governor Evers says it's a big step towards a more fair and functional legislature.
We are a purple state. The legislature does not reflect that. We have to have competitive races. Our present legislature does not respond to that.
Evers speaking with Up North News on Civic Media. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
College basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles hope to get a win tonight as they host Butler. Marquette has dropped to 11 in the AP Top 25 after losing two of their last four games. A big upset last night in the Big Ten. Nebraska at home beat number one ranked Purdue 88-72. That's the first time the Cornhuskers have beat a number one ranked team since 1982. Badgers on the road tonight. They take on Ohio State. NFL, the Packers and the Cowboys Sunday in the wild card playoffs. Matt LaFleur with praise for Jordan Love. leading his team to the postseason his first year at quarterback.
You know, his family did a hell of a job raising him in terms of just what he's all about. Great things are in store for him.
The New York Jets had a losing season after Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles tendon. He had this to say after meeting with his coaches.
Some things in every organization, and we did this for 18 years in Green Bay, the exit meetings are important to just get everything on the table that's happened, flush the bullshit that you need to move forward, and then refine your focus moving forward.
That's Aaron Rodgers with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Snow showers and flurries this evening, a couple inches possible, lows in the mid-20s. High low 30s tomorrow, maybe some late day sun. Winter storm watches Friday for heavy snow, then much colder for the weekend. Highs struggling to get up above zero by Sunday, and windy with bitter wind chills. Currently it's 26.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for light snow tonight with a low around 13. Thursday partly sunny with a temp falling to about 12. And Friday cloudy with a high near 18. Nightingale is a fun, vibrant, service-focused cocktail bar and restaurant open since 2012. They have daily specials including half-price wine bottles on Mondays from their chef-curated wine list, plus check out delicious vegetarian and vegan options, plus one of the best gluten-free menus in town. Located off 26th and Lindale, more at nightingalempls.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudigee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to a special edition of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and it is now Native Roots Radio Presents Minneapolis AIR, which is stands for Minneapolis American Indian Relations. And I want to introduce you to our special guest host tonight, Christine McDonald. And Christine, really excited to amplify your work and what's happening in the city of Minneapolis. Pinigigi, thank you so much for coming on and you know, guest hosting the show. Take it away.
Miigwech, wopigad, Robert. No, buju. Welcome to Minneapolis AIR, American Indian Relations. Ogodaki, Gabawik, Nindijnakaz, Ajijak, Ndundem. I am Christine McDonald. I am the American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis. My background is that I am Anishinaabe and Hunkpapa. I am an enrolled citizen of the Lakuturi tribe in Wisconsin. I have been with the City of Minneapolis for a little over 25 years. My first 13 years were with the Minneapolis Human Resources Department, and then most recently with the Neighborhood and Community Relations Department. So thank you for joining me. Thank you for the space, Robert. So with me today, we're going to talk about this new show, and its mission is Karen Moe, who leads the City of Minneapolis Neighborhood and Community Relations Department. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you.
So, Karen, what is Neighborhood and Community Relations?
Sure. First, thank you for having us on the program today. This is, as our inaugural program, I'm really excited to be here in the space with you, and want to start by just saying thank you to Robert and to Native Roots Radio. This is a real special opportunity for the city of Minneapolis to be partnering with you. I am the Director of Neighborhood and Community Relations. We often call our department NCR for short because it's a long name. And our department is a small department. It was established about, I think about 12, 13 years ago in the city of Minneapolis. And our role is to connect the community to the city and the city to the community. We do that through a variety of ways. First and foremost, we engage all of our communities with a priority towards communities that historically have been under-engaged or unengaged by government. We support our city's network of neighborhood organizations, and we work to ensure access for all residents, including people with disabilities and residents who speak limited or no English, to city services. Our department also houses the Office of Immigrant and Refugee Affairs, which focuses on making sure that our immigrant and refugee neighbors have full access to civic life.
Thank you. And what is your role in the department?
Well, my title is Director of Neighborhood and Community Relations. Really, my role on a daily basis is to make sure that within the city structure, that all city departments and leaders understand what value we bring, as well as what are the needs and priorities and wants of all of our residents. I work closely with elected officials to make sure that the information that we hear from our residents comes into the city. I also work with my colleagues in the department, Christine, you being one of them, to make sure that we effectively work with all of our city departments. So make sure that all city staff understand how to effectively engage in ways that are meaningful for all of our residents. Along with that, I have a lot of mundane activities, which would just include things like making sure our budget gets done, invoices get paid, requests for vacation get approved, things like that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So how has the city historically supported the American Indian community?
This is one that I myself have done a lot of learning. Christine, you've helped me understand, as well as many other people from community and our elected officials and former elected officials have helped me understand. I think one of the primary things I want to point out is your position, the American Indian Community Specialist, actually has existed for over 50 years. And that originated in the mayor's office. That was a commitment on behalf of the city and the mayor at the time to create a position really dedicated to our American Indian community, to again, really bring in the concerns and the wants into the highest level of government. And over the last 50 decades, that position has changed in terms of how it's been structured and what the priorities are. As I said before, when our department was established a little over a decade ago, that position actually came into our department, Neighborhood and Community Relations, and works with the whole group of colleagues. Today, one of the primary responsibilities, or one of the primary ways that the city of Minneapolis, our government, this current government entity, works with our American Indian community, is through the Memorandum of Understanding with the American Indian community. For shorthand, we say MOU. And that is a commitment between the American Indian community and the city of Minneapolis that's implemented through a shared agreement with leaders from the American Indian community. This is significant because our city is home to members that represent more than 130 federally recognized tribes. And so this is a significant part of our community, and the way that we work with the American Indian community through the official channels as government is with a group called the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors. For shorthand, again, MUD. You know, at government, we like our acronyms. MUD is made up of executive leaders from organizations serving the American Indian community. And so that's one of the primary ways that we work with the American Indian community.
So can you tell us why the city is coming to Native Roots Radio?
First, I just want to say I'm so excited that we are here. This is really, on behalf of the city of Minneapolis, I'm excited that this day is happening. really just a lot of gratitude. One of the main reasons why we're here is one of the main goals that our current leadership has is to end disparities in racial inequities. And that really looks at internally, how are we providing services? And one thing we know is that we've been trying to do better and that we have a lot of work to do even better. And one of the primary ways is just how do we effectively reach all of our community members? Historically, government entities have used things like written documents, like press releases, or putting information on our website. And the intention with this radio program is to reach out to residents where they are at and share information on behalf of the city in ways that they are receiving it in meaningful ways. And that includes through this radio program. I'll just point out that this program, our commitment here is to come back out once a month for 1 hour and bring a variety of information on behalf of the city that we believe is a priority for our American Indian community. We think in terms of looking at what we're gonna be bringing out, some of the topics may include information about upcoming elections, information about public safety. The city has a lot of work going on around public safety and wanna make sure all of our residents understand that. As well as very mundane things like how to fix basic problems and make sure people know about things like snow emergencies.
Hey, I got to just jump in here. And this is Minneapolis Air presented by Native Roots Radio. And I'm joined here by Christine McDonald and her guest. And we're really getting a lot of great information about what the city of Minneapolis does and how it supports everybody on Turtle Island. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake and Minneapolis Air. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
As we pack away the ornaments and bid farewell to the holiday season, it's time to unwrap the gift that keeps on giving, getting protected by a COVID-19 vaccination. This is your chance to make a difference, especially as our Native communities face higher COVID numbers. Those higher numbers underscore the need for collective action. So answer the call and get vaccinated. The latest vaccines are not just authorized, but they're proven effective against the current variants. This is extra protection, even if you've already had previous vaccines, since previous vaccines will eventually wear off. Plus, the new shots are FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. A COVID vaccine is not just a shot. It's a pledge to safeguard the wisdom and stories handed down by our elders. So join the movement, get vaccinated, and make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, I want to welcome everyone back to Native Roots Radio Presents Minneapolis AIR, American Indian Relations, and with our guest host, Christine McDonald. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And Christine, take it away. This has been really great information and really fun partnering with you guys. And we're learning a lot already, Haley and I, right, Haley?
Oh, absolutely. Love the city of Minneapolis, even though we're on the other side of the river.
Don't tell anybody.
We joke about that all the time. But thank you, Christine, for being here with us. And you as well, Karen.
Thank you. Get right back into it. Karen, is this the first time the city has done something like this?
No, actually, we started a couple years ago with Spanish language radio. When we had the Super Bowl, we were looking to make sure that our Spanish-speaking residents understood what was happening at that time. And we worked to have a program in Spanish, getting information out on La Raza. Since then, we have added a handful of programs, including on KMOJ, in language in Hmong, Somali, and Oromo.
Thank you. Can you talk about why the city chose the name Minneapolis AIR, American Indian Relations?
Sure. This is one. We've had a lot of conversations in our department, collectively we do a lot of learning on a regular basis around terminology and how we refer to people. And AIR stands for American Indian Relations. And what we understand is how community and how individuals want to be identified is really an individual preference. Per your advice, Christine, as the community engagement specialist for American Indian community, we tend to use the term American Indian based on the historical relationship between our current form of government and the first indigenous people of our nation. We know people use all different terminology, but some of the examples that we've looked at in terms of us working for our current form of government is things like Bureau of Indian Affairs, Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors. And so out of respect for who we are and with our relationships with community, we landed on the term American Indian Relations.
Yeah, thank you. I know it's complex. We use it interchangeably, Native and Indian, American Indian, Indigenous, First Nations. What do you see us talking about on Minneapolis AIR? Like, what's going on at the city that Native Roots listeners would want to or need to hear about?
Hopefully there's something for everyone. We're only going to be on once a month, so it'll be we'll have to limit what we can come on with. But what we're going to try to do is focus on programs and services from the city of Minneapolis that we believe would be important and significant for our American Indian community and our residents. For example, I think today we have an exciting lineup. Following this segment, we have Hyde coming on, who is the city of Minneapolis's first ever poet laureate. But we also have other exciting programs constantly happening, and we're hoping that we make sure we bring those programs on so that all of our residents have access to those programs. In addition, we always have some ongoing and just regular news that we really want to make sure people have access to. Some of the things coming up, I think, in the immediate future, we're already thinking about the budget and what the budget process looks like, and want to make sure people's voices are heard in the budget process. We also have a big election this year, and the city of Minneapolis manages elections and want to make sure that everyone in our community takes advantage and knows how to take advantage of having their voice heard in the election process. We also have, I'm sure everyone is aware, quite a bit of work in front of us regarding the city's relationship with our community around community safety and relationships with our police department. And so we'll be coming on, hopefully bringing some folks from other departments, talking about the settlement agreement with the State Department of Human Rights and other work that's moving forward, and make sure people understand what's happening and also how they can have their voice heard in city's decision-making process. I think next week or next month, I do want to say on February 17th, the city will host its annual Community Connections Conference. This is a free event for all residents. There's workshops, speakers, panel discussions, and exhibits. There's also free food. We usually have pretty good food. It's a great opportunity to come and meet the people behind the city departments. And so I think we're going to have someone come on in February to talk a little bit more about that conference. So hopefully, again, there's something for everybody.
Are there any other things NCR would like our listeners to know about?
Well, since I have the opportunity here on behalf of my department, I will highlight a couple other things specifically from Neighborhood and Community Relations. We have the honor of managing a program called the Partnership Engagement Fund. This is $1 million that is distributed out to community-led efforts working on issues that are priorities within those communities. It's a annual process, so you do have to apply if you're interested in accessing some of those funds. But that really is designed as a way for community members to let us know what's a priority for them and what do they think are solutions for those. And we just offer the opportunity to support them through the funding. And so that's something you could go to our website to learn a little bit more about. As I mentioned before, we also have the Community Connections coming up February 17th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. I think those are some of the big things coming up from our department right now.
Yeah, thank you. Do you want to give any information about our neighborhood organizations and how we work with those organizations and how maybe folks can get involved?
Sure. We at the city of Minneapolis, just on this side of the river, I'll say that we, I think on the other side, it might be true as well. We have a vibrant neighborhood organization network. Christine and your colleagues, you work with people really based on kind of their identity and who they are. But our neighborhood organizations work to engage people at the very local level based off of their geographic area, right? So mm-hmm. where you live, every neighborhood in the city of Minneapolis. So every resident in the city of Minneapolis has a locally designated neighborhood organization. We work with them to fund, very similar to the Partnership Engagement Fund. We fund them to engage their residents at the very local level. And those organizations work again to identify what are the priorities for that community. As we mm-hmm. know, depending upon where you go in the city, the issues that are coming up or the interests that are coming up may be very different. Minneapolis is not one whole. It actually is made up of many different people and many different neighborhoods. Yeah. And so the neighborhood organizations are funded to really identify and work at that very local level. We would say neighbor to neighbor, block to block, to engage each other, identify what are the primary issues or concerns, and then work together to either have their voice heard again in the city decision-making process or to identify the solutions themselves, what makes sense for them. If people are interested in getting involved, again, on the city's website, you can access information. If you don't know what your local neighborhood organization is, it's on our website. And there's also links to all the neighborhood organizations. So you can find out more from those organizations, how to get involved. And one thing I will say is I think the city of Minneapolis has a very vibrant vibrant network of people at the very local level, you know, working to make our community, making our city as a whole better. And one of the things that we do to support that is, again, through the neighborhood organizations, as well as the Partnership Engagement Fund, is really that idea of supporting people coming together, working together, partnering on solving those problems at the very local level.
Yeah. I was really surprised myself growing up, born and raised outside Minneapolis. It wasn't until I started working for the city of Minneapolis when I learned about neighborhood organizations. So I think the more that we can push that information out and let people know that there's opportunity there to be involved, to seek support when we have issues come up in our community. And the other thing I'd like to point out for my community is that the highest number of American Indians in the city of Minneapolis reside in East Phillips. And I thought I heard somewhere that East Phillips was going to be merging with another neighborhood, or were there two neighborhoods that were going to be merging at some point?
Yeah, and the first note I'll say, I'll say,
whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. On the Republican presidential campaign trail, Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis are taking jabs at each other. Donald Trump in a Des Moines town hall event on Fox says he's open to mending ties with rivals. And Chris Christie has dropped out of the race, but promises,
I'm going to make sure that in no way do I enable Donald Trump to ever be president of the United States again.
One person has died and three are injured in an avalanche at the Palisades Tahoe Ski Resort. CBS News Sacramento's Andrew Hobner.
Their avalanche control is used to this type of thing, but with so much snow, with so much wind, it can create these slabs that end up creating avalanches, even if you do all of the right things in avalanche control.
Portions of the Northeast are trying to recover from severe storms in Rochelle Park, New Jersey.
My yard flooded because there's a storm drain that runs through the whole thing. And that, you know, I have probably about a good foot and a half of water against my fence line.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Buggyhout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State health officials are urging pregnant women to get vaccinated after 580 children in Wisconsin aged 2 and younger have landed in the hospital with RSV. 3 of them died. New RSV vaccines are also recommended for adults 60 and older. They can be had at clinics and pharmacies. Doctors are urging people to get shots for flu and COVID, too. Wisconsin is one of the leading states for vehicle crashes with wildlife. Experts fear things will get worse as more rural areas get developed.
Roads, fences, development, things like that are all types of fragmentation that decrease connectivity for wildlife to be able to move across the landscapes.
Jeremy Romero is with the National Wildlife Federation. The federal government is rolling out a pilot program. States can apply for grants to build safe wildlife crossings. I'm Nate Wuggyhout, Civic Media News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see 1 to 2 inches of snowfall in the overnight. Upper 20s expected by sunrise. Some morning snow Thursday, then mostly cloudy skies. Highs near the freezing mark. Snow will be possible late Thursday night into Friday as a winter storm watch goes into effect. Currently 26 degrees.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
A roasted broccoli bruschetta and smoked chicken liver plate. Takeout orders available at your convenience, and Nightingale is open daily 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. with their full menu until midnight. Or at nightingalempls.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, I want to welcome everyone back to Minneapolis Air, presented by Native Roots Radio. We have our guest host and her groovy guest, Christine McDonald, here, and she is taking the ball in a good way and running with it. Thanks, Christine. This is really awesome information, and I'm sure everyone's really interested everywhere around Turtle Island. So let's welcome back again. Ho-wa.
Me, Gwitch, Robert. I'm enjoying being here. Now, our next guest, for the first time ever, the city of Minneapolis has a poet laureate. Hyde E. Erdrich was just appointed last month. Hyde is Ojibwe, enrolled at Turtle Mountain. She has received two Minnesota Book Awards, as well as fellowships and awards from the Library of Congress, National Poetry Series, Native Arts and Cultures Foundation, the Loft Literary Center, First Peoples Fund, and others. On Monday, she was honored at the first gathering of the new Minneapolis City Council and presented a new poem written specifically for the occasion. Hyde joins us here today. Thank you so much for coming on the program today, Hyde.
Amigwich Christine, Hyde Erdrich, Dijinakaz, Jaganashimong, Majikwe, Indigo, Mukadik Wikjuwing, Ndunjaba, Minawa, Dakota King, Guy Kabakong, and so I'm Hyde, and I live here in Minneapolis, grew up in North Dakota and near the Sistine Wahpeton Oyate, and I'm in Old Turtle Mountain.
Thank you. So I understand that being poet laureate isn't just an honorary title. Can you tell us about your duties as the new Minneapolis inaugural poet laureate?
Well, it's really interesting because it's the first poet laureate. I'm sort of introducing people to the position and helping understand what it can be. I have events that I'll do, public events for the city government, as well as for the state of Minnesota, if asked. And I get to teach some classes at the Loft Literary Center, as well as do a special project. So it's kind of developing as the year goes on, but that's what I know I'll be doing so far.
Thank you. So your duty as Minneapolis Poet Laureate is to present two classes through the Loft Literary Center. Can you tell us about your plans for those classes?
Yeah, those classes will be based around ekphrastic poetry. That's poetry that looks at visual art. I've spent a lot of my work life working with Native American visual artists and others in the Twin Cities. And I find it a huge strength of our city, something that I love to showcase whenever I can and that I love to, you know, contribute to in ways that I can. So I am going to teach two classes about writing about visual art, how poetry and visual art intersect, and also other arts like choreography, and how, you know, Native aesthetic is music and dance and visual art and language all at once. So I hope to bring a little bit of that to my introduction to the role of poet laureate.
That's amazing. Another aspect of your year as Minneapolis Poet Laureate will be a special project of your choosing. Are you able to tell us more about what that project looks like?
Part of becoming the poet laureate and being selected for it was that we had to have a plan for what we wanted to do. And I had this overly ambitious plan, but I'll boil it down to listening sessions, poetry listening sessions, where I want to work in at least four neighborhoods in the city, probably based on the directions of the city, and listen to what the poets from those communities and other people have to say about their dreams for the city, and how they fit in the city, to understand what the poetry is from various communities, and to, you know, familiarize myself with it so that I can bring it back to the community in a form, probably a short poem film, but a form that could be worked into public art.
Oh, that sounds so exciting. I love tying that poem, the poetry, into those spaces, because I know in our community, we're not very tied to the brick and mortar of spaces, more into the sense of that location and what that means for us. Have you, you brought some of your poetry to share with us today?
Yeah, I would love to share the poem, the beginning of a poem that I wrote for the city council meeting on Monday. I decided that I would start with a poem that has multiple parts to it, and I will do a different part in each season throughout the year. So it's a poem for four parts for the city of Minneapolis, and I'll read you just the first part. Winter. This is the city dreaming in its original language, Dakota home mapped on astronomical planes. So streets still chart the stars, tell us where to be in each season, river at spring equinox, sun up, lake at fall equinox, sundown. This is the city dreaming in winter, into the silence of frozen spaces in this bare year, the quiet broken by wishes, calling down the snow, calling for a home. The city makes its own way home, makes its many ways home. This is the city dreaming under cold and deep skies, on icy streets moving with care. Winter swallows background noise, makes the perfect place to listen, to hear one another. Snow is just another sign for home. We can laugh at it together, whether we park on the odd side or on the other side, or find our street restricted. We plow on through, we're in it together. When the city dreams in winter, what does it learn? Listen to the city dreaming, calling us home in many languages. Listen to the city dreaming, moving toward a chorus, learning its multiple and singular voice.
That is so beautiful. I love that. There's so much in there that I love, especially where you talk about the streets. What was that part about the streets navigate the stars?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things that I noticed living here. And I lived in St. Paul when I first moved to the Twin Cities, and I was told that a lot of the major roads were old Dakota trails. And one year I was driving down Franklin headed toward the river, and it was the equinox. And just as the sun popped up, it was right in the middle of the road where you would get to the river. And then later on, I watched to see if it set at the lakeside of Franklin in the fall and in fall equinox, and it does. So these old roads are part of how Dakota people mapped their place in the universe, and it's such a very important place to Indigenous people. I really want to celebrate that and invite all kinds of people to understand the place they live.
Thank you so much. That's beautiful. I want to thank you for being here today. It was an honor to be at the council when you were presented with your proclamation, and I look forward to working with you and celebrating with you over the next year.
Thanks. It's so great. I'm looking forward to, you know, maybe there's a way I can bring some more Native poets onto air. So I look forward to that, as the program is fantastic.
This is amazing. Thank you. There is going to be a public celebration of Hyde planned next week. It will be from 6 to 8 p.m. Thursday, January 18th at the Loft Literary Center at 1011 Washington Avenue South in Minneapolis. Miigwech, Hyde.
Yeah, Miigwech. Thanks. Hyde, before you go, I got a quick question. When you lived in St. Paul, were there any roads in St. Paul? Because I've never heard that about Minneapolis, that were old trails. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Ernie Whiteman told me that Snelling in St. Paul was also an old Dakota trail, and there were many that were mapped in a project, which I can't remember the name of right now, but yeah, so both sides of the river.
Wow, and two, I don't know if you have anything. We got a couple more minutes left in this segment. I'm wondering if you have any poem you'd like to read to our listening audience. I hate to put you on the spot, but do you have one handy or you know by heart that you could to tell our audience?
Well, I'll take a little look, and while I'm looking, I will say something about anybody who can see my avatar. I have a portrait that was done by the late great Jim Demenemy, a very good friend of mine, and it kind of shows my notion of poetry and visual art going together. And I'll read another really short poem that has connections between Native culture as being both poetic and visual, and it concerns dance. And this poem is called Sister Nations. We convene in a long dusk in the lasting corona of twilight in our prairie homelands midsummer. We gather beneath our ancestor dancers, vivid whirling, magnetically arrayed giants or solar flares. However we know them, we remain theirs. Glass blue depth at our backs, we ease lush summer skies, a comfort to us. Three nations of sisters encamped in camp chairs in the dark beyond the dance arena's glare. We thrill together when a bear pushes her way into the circle. Her attitude commands us, her crouched inspection, once round, glancing at everyone in turn, sometimes rushing the crowd. She shakes a warning, claws the air, crosses her paws, then pauses, hunches into the darkness beyond us. Sisters, as her fur brushes past us, dark, warm, soft as this night, her beast breath left a blessing. We gasped and heard her roar, a true bear roar, before she threw her animal robe back and laughed her woman's laugh.
Wow. Beautiful.
I love that one.
Haley, do you have any questions before we let this, our poet laureate of Minneapolis go? That is awesome.
I just really love the comparison between the bear and, you know, us as, you know, females and in Native communities, we're such, you know, matriarch societies. And yeah, it's just, I think you have very beautiful words, and thank you for being here today with us.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I am such a bear person. I'm Mukwa Dotem. So I call my office the Den of Hyde Bear Nation, and it's really past my bear sleep nap time. So thank you so much.
we can agree with that.
Well, Heidi, thank you so much. Kristen, we have a lot to talk about next segment. This has been just a fabulous inaugural show, and what great guests you have picked to represent this new program that we're partnering with. I'm excited. Let's talk a little bit more. You're listening to Native Roots Radio, Minneapolis Air, and we will be right back after this short break.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID-19. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. Air stands for American Indian Relations. Host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis Air dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Unveil the captivating world of Native photography at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. Their new exhibit, In Our Hands, Native Photography 1890 to Now, turns the camera around and puts Native photographers in control, featuring hundreds of photographs captured by generations of First Nations, Métis, Inuit, and Native Americans. You'll view the world through their lens, revealing the beauty and complexity of Indigenous heritage. Don't miss this incredible experience. Visit In Our Hands at the Minneapolis Institute of Art now through January 14th. For more info, visit artsmia.org.
www.NativeRootsRadio.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. Just a second here. I have to find out what the name of the show is again. Haley, it's
Minneapolis Air.
I wanted to see if you were paying attention. Hey, what a great first show, Christine. What great guests, and what a way to celebrate Minneapolis, too. And I think just hearing things like there's 130 recognized tribes represented in the city of Minneapolis, that blew my mind. Also, the roads. I mean, I've learned three or four things already just listening to your show here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited for what we can bring in the future to this discussion and what information we can provide to community. There's a lot going on that people aren't aware of. Like I mentioned, even me growing up in the city of Minneapolis, I didn't know about neighborhood organizations and the opportunity to get involved, nor did I understand how they impacted the community. You know, neighborhood organizations have been around for, some of them have been around for 100 years, and we have had intentional work to make sure that those organizations are representative of the neighborhoods and the residents there. And some of the work that's come out of our department has been to help make sure that we have representation on those boards. And I was here in the department when we were able to see Native representation seen for the first time at the East Phillips Neighborhood Board. And those were residents out of Little Earth. So there's been a lot of great work done to help make sure that that education and participation happens in the public process.
Yeah. And I wonder, too, if you could explain a little bit more about MUD. And I know we talk a little bit about that on Native Roots Radio, but I know it was brought up today. And maybe you can educate our audience and Haley and I a little bit more about MUD.
Sure. So my participation is based on my role at the City of Minneapolis. I support the Memorandum of Understanding, which is entered into with the city and the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors Group. I think a lot of the things that we see happen in our community are really a result of what we sometimes call the Red Movement. So around the time when AIM originated, so MUD itself, what I was taught was it originated as well about 50 years ago, if not more, around the time when we had an influx of folks moving into the city. A lot of people don't really understand or realize that American Indians were also sold the American dream. You know, once we were forced onto reservations, they wanted to continue the assimilation. And told us, you know, come down to these cities, we'll provide housing for you, we'll make sure your kids are educated, we'll provide work for you. And a lot of times when our people showed up to these urban areas, there wasn't anything in place to do that. And so we naturally seen American Indian organizations come into place. And as they came into place, they really came and formed a group together to support each other. At that time, a lot of the funding for our programming came out of government entities. A lot of times it's from the city, it's from the county, it's from the state. What I was taught was that they came together to learn how to work with those entities and provide services and programs for our community. And so that still happens today. MUD is a collaborative of nonprofit organizations and the leadership from those organizations. So those are what are called voting members. And so MUD really is there. They represent themselves and they represent the community that they serve. So a lot of times the decisions that they make are in ways to best serve the community. And they have a monthly meeting where the voting members meet And then there are also seven subcommittees that MUD hosts. And the subcommittees are where we really look to see community participate. We have, I can't sure if I off the top of my head, there's public safety. We used to have a housing subcommittee, but it now has been reprogrammed to be the opioid and unsheltered community crisis response committee, health and wellness, employment and economic development, arts and culture, education, which is really Phillips Indian educators, as well as family preservation, which that one seems, that one is more focused on Indian child welfare.
Wow. Hey, we're here with Christine McDonald, and this is a special edition of Native Roots Radio entitled Minneapolis Air, American Indian Relations. And I thought it was interesting, too, and being an old person that I am, I don't mind being called Indian, and it was fun that if it was good enough for American Indian movement, it's good enough for me to be called that. But it's a process. Words mean a lot, and I'm glad you guys explained the title of the show as well as you did.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that I got hit with. I think myself, my personal preference is Native. I prefer Native American. Mm-hmm. But in one of my first community meetings, there were a couple people who didn't agree with the term Native. And so there was a couple of community people who really gave that support, as well as why it should be the American Indian. And I think that really gives the city as a government entity some footing to use that language and stick with it based on the historical terminology that's been used.
Right, right. And I think that's important because it's sometimes, you know, for people listening to the show and our Native community and also our white allies to fumble along that, what to call us sometimes. And mm-hmm. I'm sure you go by the same thing that Haley and I do. We prefer being called Ho-Chunk. I mean, you don't, yep. But we do.
It might be a little awkward. Yeah, myself. Yeah. Like when I introduce myself, I say I'm Anishinaabe and Hokpapa. Yeah. So even within that, mm-hmm. it's not just the tribe, but actually the nation of people that I'm a part of.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited.
And I think it gets more complicated, you know, because myself too. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to talk about February 17th a little more, and maybe we can get somebody on to talk about that before we have our monthly get-together, too, on Native Roots Radio, because at the Convention Center, I wonder if you can just elaborate a little bit on that with the last couple minutes we have on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking that, because we have been doing this conference since 2012. And we had only 1 year, which was COVID, when we weren't able to do the conference. And so it's been during my whole duration with the department. And this is the first year that I'm co-lead on it. So I'm happy to be able to talk with it. And I hope next month I'll be able to get my my partner, the other co-lead, to be on the show with me as well. This is a yearly event that brings residents of Minneapolis, community groups, neighborhoods, and local government together. The conference is held at the Minneapolis Convention Center. There's opportunities to be involved as a workshop presenter, exhibitor, or a volunteer. Anyone planning to apply to be an exhibitor for the conference can do so online at our webpage. It's probably easiest just to search City of Minneapolis Community Connections Conference. One thing that is really interesting is it's grown every year that we haven't been in COVID. So I have invited folks, and the folks that I invite, you know, when you think of something that the government's going to put on, it's kind of a little doesn't really sound really exciting, but everybody who has come has really had a good time coming. And the lunch is free. The event is free. It's cold in February, so you might as well come in and get to know people.
Absolutely. Hey, I want to say congratulations on co-hosting and doing a great job. You did a great job.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.